This is a really serious story that we're circling back to today. It's a topic we've spoken about several times since the news broke that the Higher Education Department was deregistering several of EduCore's colleges. You may recall a couple of weeks ago, we chatted to the former head of our Qualifications Authority about what the impact was likely to be on students and what options existed for them going forward. Before we speak to Carte Blanche, let me just remind those who might have forgotten the detail. It was in late March that Blade and Zimanze announced that four of the EduCore brands had been formally deregistered, namely City Varsity, Damlin College, Lyceum College and Ikesa City Campus. The reason for the deregistration included a lack of audit compliance. There were financial documents they were meant to supply and had not done, despite frequent warnings. And then there were also concerns about the quality of the educational offering. The long and the short of it is that those institutions are now allowed to complete the current academic year, but they cannot register any new students and they will not be allowed to continue from 2025. So a student who is finishing a course this year will be able to finish their course, but one who is halfway through their second year of a three-year degree is going to have to find somewhere else to finish that degree next year. It's a very, very serious situation for many students. And last night, the Carte Blanche team really showed us the personal face of that quandary as they caught up with both students and staff members affected by this deregistration. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the show Carte Blanche producer Liz Fish. Liz, thank you for your time today. Welcome.
Thank you.
The department did warn last year already that the EduCore group was in danger of possible deregistration, but it seems like nobody really believed it was actually going to come to this. Liz, the bottom line is it has come to this. Can't you just remind us as a starting point of the scale of that impact? How many campuses and how many students are affected by this move?
Well, the question of how many students is unclear. And the EduCore is certainly not volunteering those numbers. The numbers that the Department of Education had were from 2022, and that was only 13,000. So we don't know how many students they have. And what's rather alarming, despite the fact that they got the notification of the deregistration last year, in fact, it was July last year, they appealed, and you know, to lodge an appeal on September, that they then extended to February. So it was very clear that they'd kind of dragged it along and dragged it along, and eventually, as the minister said, like, we can't do this indefinitely. Here, we're stopping. But they'd already registered first-year students, and those first-year students had paid registration fees, they'd paid pre-examination fees, and one of the people that I spoke to, his mom, is a nurse, and she was devastated. They'd taken on a first-year, and there was no way forward for him. So the mental strain on the students and their parents is, you know, I didn't really manage to capture that in last night's story. It is shocking that their lives are being played with. And the amount that people are paying for these diplomas and degrees, 70,000 rand. Now, that is what I paid for my daughter's university degree at UCT. So it's not small change.
It's not indeed. And it's what's devastating as well, Liz, is the fact that once upon a time, these were credible institutions. And I don't just say that because I used to lecture at one of them. For full disclosure, I did lecture at City Varsity Cape Town in the early to mid 2010s. What I remember from that time, Liz, was looking around thinking how incredible, what awesome lecturers they've got. We are working in creative fields here, and they've gathered together top-notch industry professionals who are delivering these various programs. How lucky are these students to have access to people of this caliber? Here we sit, not quite 10 years later, a brand like Damlin, which used to be an absolutely credible institution, even in my school days, in tatters.
It's absolutely tragic. And as I said in the story, you know, they had an incredible track record. They had an incredible reputation. They were bought over by EduCore, I stand to be corrected, but about 10 years ago. And even in 2019, they were still mostly delivering good quality. And the lecturers that have left were top-notch, dedicated people, not earning a great deal, but really committed to their students. And you know, up until very recently, those courses were fantastic.
Liz, everything seemed to start falling apart, though, and your interview with one of the former staff members last night highlighted some of the issues. You also demonstrated what happened at the Braamfontein City Varsity campus, where students arrived to find a notice on the door saying the building is closed for fumigation, and then got a follow-up notice to say, sorry, actually, we're shutting down the whole campus and you'll need to transfer somewhere else. You know, that can you imagine being the student arriving ready to write a test that morning and finding the doors literally locked in your face, knowing that you've paid fees for the whole year?
So point of correction there, yep. They locked the doors after the end of the year. So this fumigation story began after all the exams had been rewritten. But they hadn't paid staff for months and months on end. And then staff were actually locked out the building. And I think what is so disturbing about this is the lack of communication.
Yeah.
The lack of communication to staff and the lack of communication to students. So they locked the building supposedly for fumigation. Staff were locked out because I spoke to staff in Braamfontein as well. Then they sent this notice out to students' parents around early January, fumigation.
Okay.
They then sent this notice on the 20th of February that they closed down. Now, the academic year is already running.
Yeah.
And now, suddenly, these kids are high and dry. So that is what is so appalling. And then the same thing that I picked up with this announcement. Laban Samandi stands up and deregisters. It's the final thing. This has been going on for 6 months. I'm done. Here we are. The next day, they said to those students, no. The media's got it all wrong. They're reporting on something that happened last year. It's absolute nonsense. They called a meeting and said that to the parents and the students, that it was the media who had got it wrong. Mm. So that's a level of lack of communication. And, you know, students, there's no clear, okay, this is the plan, and that they've taken on first years, which they never should have done.
Yeah.
So it's that lack of communication that is just systemic in a funny kind of way.
I mean, one of our listeners saying, I still can't believe how these institutions were allowed to register new students this year, knowing what predicament they're in. It's so unfair to those students. And Liz, I know the Higher Education Department will say, well, we published, we gazetted a notice warning that this was coming last year already. But one does wonder if they shouldn't have been more proactive in saying something, knowing that a registration and intake of new students was just around the corner. I mean, surely they should have been flying those red flags and alerting people to stay clear that this move was coming within weeks, you know.
I agree. And the terrible thing is that they say the lecturers can go to the labor court. Well, they can't. They're on independent contracts. One lecturer who left took them to the CCMA and managed to, but that wasn't a court that he could go to.
Yeah.
Not saying to students, well, sure, these students can barely pay their school fees. How are they going to sue them? But what's more disturbing is they also say, oh, well, all your qualifications are on a central system and we will help to relocate you. But what we revealed is how credible are those results when students are sitting for months on end, weeks on end, without lecturers?
Yeah.
You know, so I feel that the department, as comforting it is that the minister has said, you know, we will help you relocate, et cetera, et cetera. I agree with you. They should have made a big noise at the end of last year saying, warning, this isn't working, you know. So at least they didn't take on first years. You know, they devastated.
Just for anybody coming late into the interview, we're talking to Liz Fish, carte blanche producer, who brought us last night's segment on the deregistration of EduCore campuses. And for those who haven't seen the segment, Liz spoke to students who've been impacted. She also spoke to a lecturer who'd finally given up, resigned and walked away, just saying, I can't contend with this ongoing battle to be paid on time. I can't keep standing up in front of a room doing my best for students, knowing that this place is sort of crumbling around me. I mean, the culture of distrust that was described, Liz, between the staff and the institutions was very, very distressing, as was the clip you shared of a recording of a Teams meeting in which staff members were discussing how to create marks for the students in the absence of marked exam papers. Just for the sake of those who don't know the story, won't you explain what actually happened there?
I'm going to rewind just slightly. There was a very, very dedicated lecturer who reached 65, and she had been running the department and had started, you know, demanding more for her students, demanding that they got paid, demanding that the equipment was what it should have been. And when she hit 65, that was the reason to get rid of her. They got rid of her immediately without ensuring there was a handover period, that they had a lecturer who could take on her responsibility. So for weeks, those kids were without anybody. The other lecturers in the department were having to cover for her, you know, be lectures on topics that they weren't confident in, et cetera, et cetera. So they get to the end of that semester, and now kids have been, you know, without and then with, and not necessarily the most qualified. And there's this meeting, a standard meeting between lecturers of, okay, what are your assessments? You know, what have you marked? Where we, you know, that usual end of year academic meeting. And in that meeting, this person says, I've been told I can take attendance as an academic result. And the person who was then running the department said, I didn't think you can. So she then insisted on, you know, she'd consulted with the new management who was the academic head, who said, yes, you can. And so that shocked them. And that HOD refused to accept those results. And he got rid of in a various ways fairly quickly. So there's this very deceptive way of handling things, you know, and very tightly controlled, like what you heard of the lecturer saying, if we complained on a WhatsApp group that we hadn't been paid, we'd get into trouble. We were not allowed to complain on WhatsApp groups.
You know, the horror story here is yes, the department has reassured everybody that if you obtained your qualification from one of these colleges before the deregistration happened, your qualification is valid. You haven't got anything to worry about. But of course you have something to worry about, because the very name of City Varsity and Damlin has been tarnished. The academic credibility is in tatters. A future employer looking at a CV, how many of them are going to take the time to say, well, did they get this City Varsity certificate before 2019 or after 2019? There is a degrading of the very name of the institution, and every former student is going to suffer as a result of that, aren't they, to some extent?
They are. I mean, the only comfort I had for the students we were talking to, was that in the media world, as you know, if you can show your colours, if you can show your intelligence, your research abilities, your performing abilities, your memory, your personality, you can get that audition and shine. It is not like a science degree or an engineering degree, or where it's totally technical. I mean, yes, those kids need all the development and support they can get. But in this industry, you've got a bit of more leeway where you can do the apprenticeship and learn on the job, as it were. So there's that comfort, but not for all of those degrees. And yes, of course, it's going to be a massive problem for them. I mean, they didn't even have the equipment. I mean, this person I was speaking to was saying to me, why have you got that fluffy thing on the mic? And I was saying, well, that's to cut the wind. This is a third year.
And had never heard of it. Yeah.
A microphone with a wind stuffer on it. You know, that's tragic.
Yeah, it really is. Liz, I mean, I'm really grateful that you had the opportunity to give those voices a platform last night and remind us that there are human beings at the heart of the story who have had their lives and their dreams devastated by this move. My final question to you before we must wrap to go to news is around EduCorps itself. It would appear from last night, you certainly made the effort to try and engage with them to find out who was in charge and to be able to challenge them on how this has all played out. You couldn't even get them to tell you the name of the CEO.
Absolutely bizarre. And then I thought, okay, well, it'll come in the email. It didn't. It was avoided. So why is it such a mystery? Who is the CEO of EduCorps? Even the Department of Education couldn't find out the management structure. So, I mean, to me, that speaks volumes. Like, what are you doing if you're one of the biggest institutions that you have a lack of transparency to this degree?
It was arguably the biggest of the private tertiary education institutions, and it certainly will be no more. Liz Fish, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. And just to say that if you missed Liz's story on Carte Blanche last night, if you have access to DSTV, you can find it on the catch-up function. If you don't have access to DSTV, just wait a couple of days and the video segments do reach the Carte Blanche website by roughly the middle of the week.